Welcome to this special edition UKCP podcast with UKCP Chair Azmat and UKCP Member John Paul Davis, who are discussing the upcoming general meeting. This general meeting has been called for the 31st of October 2022, and both resolutions and proposals have been put forward by the Board of Trustees and members of UKCP. In this episode, Azmat will discuss the proposals from the Board, provide some rationale and context around the general meeting and voting. Eligible voting members should have received an email from Civica Election Services with details on how to vote and how to join the general meeting. We hope that this podcast provides more information about the general meeting, the rationale and the resolutions. And now to introduce themselves, John Paul Davis and Azmat.
Hello, I'm John Paul Davis, and I'm a full-time psychotherapist, transpersonal and integratively trained at CCPE, and I'm here talking to UKCP Chair Azmat about recent governance proposals and the general meeting that's going to be taking place on the 31st of October. So Azmat, it's the first time we've met, so I don't know if you want to say a bit about yourself.
Yeah, certainly, John Paul. I'm a psychotherapist as well. I've been practicing for some years in Brighton. I originally trained in Gestalt psychotherapy and then went to the Karuna Institute to train in mindfulness-based psychotherapeutic approaches. So that includes a certain amount of transpersonal as well as other aspects which are all integrated into it. I was elected as the chair of UKCP last year and started in March of this year.
Great, thank you. The membership of UKCP are receiving emails about a general meeting that I mentioned that's happening on 31st of October. And I'm just wondering if you could tell us about it and what's happening there.
Yeah, certainly. It's a bit of an unusual situation, actually. The general meeting on the 31st of October has been triggered by a petition from about 5% of the membership of UKCP who wish to propose changes to the governing documents. And under company law, they are, if 5% or more vote for that, they're certainly allowed to request a general meeting. And that's what happened. And we're now in that process, which has strict timelines around it. So we have to have the general meeting more or less by the 31st of October. So we're preparing this general meeting in accordance with the announcement, which has been sent out on the 5th of October by email from Civica Election Services. And Civica are an independent organisation that organise elections in different organisations. And they're also able to hold governance meetings like the one that's being proposed. So in this podcast, I'd really like to give you the board's perspective on all of the proposals which are going to come to the general meeting.
Great, sounds good. Yeah, so what's the context to the Board of Trustees regarding the governance proposals?
That's a good question, because the Board of Trustees have been working for a long time, actually, since last year, to try and update our governance documents. And we've got certain aims in mind regarding that. The first aim is really to protect our volunteer officers who are now operating in an increasingly litigation conscious atmosphere. So we want to make sure that they are better supported and held in the roles that they are volunteering for. So that's the first aim. And the second aim is really to democratize our organization so that appointments are made using fair, open and transparent processes, which has not always been the case thus far. And the third aim is really to provide more support for the individual members of UKCP and enfranchise them so that they can vote, vote in chair and vice chair elections for their college, and also give them a stronger forum in which they can express their opinions and shape UKCP thinking. So we were planning to hold a general meeting later in the year, following consultation with our different committees. But as this meeting has now been triggered by members, we want to really have all of the proposals from the board side and from the members' side, all in one general meeting, so that our membership can vote at that particular occasion on the 31st of October on all of the proposals, which we hope will shape the way that UKCP moves forward into the future in a more member-led way.
Okay. I mean, can you give a bit more details about the proposals?
Yes, certainly. The proposals, you can actually now vote on proposals. That email that was sent out by CES, and some members will have received it and not realised what this is about, and they may have deleted it, or it may have gone into the trash. It was on the 5th of October, quite late in the afternoon, and it actually has a button in it that says vote by proxy. And if you click that particular button, then you go into a place that has all of the proposals which are going to be voted on in the general meeting. So what I'd like to do is actually explain what the proposals are, and how they link to the options that you're going to get in the general meeting, so it becomes clear what you do regarding the proposals. So if I talk you through this process, as I say, members should try and find the email from the 5th of October. There will be a reminder sent out soon, so it won't be terrible if you don't find that particular email. You'll get another reminder. And click that button that says vote by proxy, and that will give you a page then that tells you about the whole process. You can either vote in person at the meeting, but many people choose to vote by proxy in advance, and in fact, some votes have already been cast. When you open that particular page in the email, you'll see that there are four sets of proposals related to the different documents, and you'll also see four boxes for each section in which you'll be able to vote for, or against, or withhold your vote, meaning abstain, or opt for discretionary, which means you're allowing your proxy to vote on your behalf. So let's look at the four different sections. The first section is entitled Special Resolution, and this is proposed by the board to change the articles of association. Like most organizations, we have a sort of hierarchy of governance documents, and the articles of association, which are seen publicly also by the Charity Commission and the PSA, are the overarching governing document for UKCP. And to change them, you require 75% of the votes cast to allow you to change articles of association. And that's why it's called special. It's a special resolution. Now, what we're proposing to change in the articles of association of substance relate to two different articles. Firstly, Article 18 on page 12 of the articles. And these concern the responsibilities of the committees of the board. What we want to do is give oversight of how we make our appointments in UKCP, how we appoint officers to the different roles in the colleges. And what we want to ensure is that our appointment processes are fair, open, and transparent, so that we do not fall prey to biases and cronyism. And as you'll also see in the indicative votes in the last section, that we, when we in the future wish to hold elections for open positions of chair or vice chair of any of our 10 colleges, we wish to involve all the members of those colleges in the election process. And so the change to this article is to allow a committee of the board to oversee appointments and ensure that the candidates know what they're letting themselves in for by going through the role description and giving them some background information as to the challenges they're likely to face, but also support them and say what support is available to them. How will we give them induction training so they can fulfill the role, and really hold them and support them throughout their role in this particular position. So that's the first big change that we wish to make regarding the articles of association. I don't know if you've got any, whether that's clear or if you have any.
Well, I'm just interested to know, I mean, what happens at the moment that point's trying to address, I guess. What is it that's the deficit, or what's lacking at the moment?
Yes, at the moment, each college does things in slightly different ways, and it's not always transparent at all. Very often, people just ask their friends, you know, oh, we've got a position on this particular committee, or, you know, we'd like you to chair it. So what we're trying to do is involve and engage the membership in each college in the process of selecting their chair. So it's not all dominated by votes from organisational members. It's sort of a combined effort from organisational members and individual members of each college. So the second significant change that we want to make to the Articles of Association is Article 28 on page 15. And this relates to Members Forum. Members Forum is an opportunity for individual members and organisational members to come together and talk about whatever is on the agenda with members of the board present, so that their voice can be heard and suggestions made and proposals made, taken away by the board for consideration. We've had during the past year one members forum which was specifically dedicated to students and trainees, and that went really well. And I think the students were hoping that this would become a regular event. And so we really want to make it a regular event by giving them a student and trainees members forum, and they can elect a leader who will be on the main members forum and then represent the student and trainees in a wider organisation. We've also had a meeting, which wasn't a members forum, but it was a meeting of organisational members to talk about the proposed changes in the constitution, the governance documents. And it struck me at the time that it may well be very useful to have a separate members forum for organisational members, because they have many things in common which they may like to discuss, and they may like to share best practices. So what we're proposing here is to broaden members forum by having these two particularly focused additional forums for people to share their thoughts and make proposals to members of the board. So both of these proposals are aimed at giving members much more voice and making us much more open and transparent and accountable. So hopefully people understand what we're proposing here and will support us. And if people want a more fair, open and transparent appointment process overseen by a subcommittee of the board for your college chair and vice chair, and you support separate forum for different types of member, please vote using the for box that is against the paragraph headed special resolution. And as the board's proposals for indicative votes in Appendix D are related to the changes to the special resolution, if you voted for the special resolution, it would make sense to read document D and vote for in the last section headed board proposals. So our advice is basically for members to consider voting for on the first and the last of these different sections that you'll see in this message. Now, perhaps I should go to the proposals which have been put to us by members and supported by 5% of the membership. The first proposal to talk about is called the ordinary resolution. And it's ordinary in the sense that, unlike the special resolution, which required 75% of the votes to be favourable in order to pass, an ordinary resolution, which is spelt out in Appendix B, only requires 50% in order to pass. And what this ordinary resolution is seeking to do is change the bylaw 10.1, regarding how we work in accreditation and reaccreditation of members. So the proposal itself is in many ways how we are working in any case, except for one thing. It doesn't actually include reference to the part played by organisational members in the accreditation and reaccreditation process. And this is something that we really think should be clarified in that particular bylaw. Otherwise, it could be misleading. And I just think people should know that the recommendations for accreditation and for many people, reaccreditation come from organisational members and go to the colleges. But there's something more important that I want to draw your attention to, which is the final sentence in this proposal is basically seeking to restrict the board from carrying out our legal obligations by saying that we can't change anything unless there is a general meeting to do so. So this would prevent the board from making such clarifications, such as the one I've just mentioned, without having the time and the expense associated with a general meeting. And because of these two reasons, we really feel that we can't support this particular resolution as it is presented to this general meeting. So we would suggest voting against this resolution as it stands.
Okay. Just out of interest, do you know what concern that their resolution is trying to address there?
Yes, I do, because I've spoken to the person who's proposed this, and he was actually referring to a document that was put out in the early stages of our original consultation, in which there was a sentence that was struck out, or shown as struck out, in this particular bylaw, which seemed to imply that the colleges would no longer be involved. Now, that was not the case, actually. That's a misunderstanding of the strikeout. The strikeout was simply to say, we need to reconsider this sentence because it doesn't mention organizational members. And so it was a sort of note to us, you know, you've got to reword that so it includes both colleges and organizational members.
Okay.
So I think this comes really from a misunderstanding, and I can understand how that came to be, but we really do want to make it clear that we're not proposing to change the role that organizational members are playing in accreditation and reaccreditation.
Okay, so that remains the same. Individual members go to their college and it's them that deal with the accreditation and reaccreditation.
Well, individual members, when they're accredited, will go to their OM, who will propose the college. And unless they're a direct member, they will also go to the organizational member for reaccreditation.
Okay.
But direct members can go to the college.
Yeah.
And so essentially what we're saying is there's no change in our minds at all for changing the system. We just need it clarified.
Okay.
So the next section is headed member resolution. And this concerns not a bylaw, but two changes to the standing orders. And these are given in Appendix C in the email that has been sent by Civica. The first of these two requests to change the standing order, basically, if you read it, what it's essentially saying is you should stick rigidly to the rules. The board and the executive should stick rigidly to the rules. And we looked at this and thought, you know, this is quite oppressive and inflexible. And we were trying to understand, well, where has this come from? And it seems to be linked to a pilot project that we set up in agreement between the executive and the colleges to improve the way in which we process and hold regulatory information to guarantee the quality of our registers. So there was a project set up with a regulatory task force to try and improve this. And this was discussed with our standing committees who agreed that, yes, we should do this to see if we can make a much more efficient process and remove some of the burden that our old processes put on the shoulders of psychotherapists who are volunteers for UKCP. It was quite a sort of old-fashioned and onerous process. So we wanted to improve it. One college in particular, I think, found that it wasn't changing in the way they wanted. And I think that's behind this particular request for a change to the standing orders, which is trying to say that the executive and the board cannot change anything without again going to a general meeting. And I really question the wisdom of this. If you consider the COVID pandemic, for example, when it came along, we had to change many processes very quickly in order to adapt and accommodate what we were doing so we could continue to function as an organization. And so, you know, I think we have to have some degree of trust that the board and the executive will act in the best interest when we of the organization, when we have challenges that need to be managed. So I would suggest that inflexible, rigid sort of wording, as has been proposed, would not actually be in the best interest of the organization.
Okay, just out of interest, what do you imagine somebody's worried about there, that the board will be making decisions without reference to the organizational members? Or
I think one of the concerns that was raised is that we were transferring certain activities from psychotherapists who were volunteering to really manage some of the processes around the register, mm-hmm. and asking people who aren't psychotherapists to actually do this. Now, actually, a lot of care was taken to make sure that we were using people who are, you know, much more professional in terms of how they handle data and databases, so that we have a easy way of checking that people comply with our standards. So I personally think that the concerns were a bit of an overreaction, and that by talking through this together, a proper compromise could be found, and for most colleges that in fact has been the case. I think we have to embrace new technology to support our efficiency and our ability to check that our register is accurately reflecting that we have accredited members who have complied with all of the requirements. There's one other part to this particular section, which is the second request, which is C2 in the Appendix C. This is a proposal from members to restrict the power of the board again, and it relates to how the board delegates their powers and authority to committees and colleges. The board are the only people who are legally responsible personally for the management of UKCP, and the board have to decide to whom are they going to delegate certain authority and powers in the organization in order that these tasks and responsibilities can be undertaken. And it's very important the board have confidence in any committee or chair that they delegate any sort of authority to. This is really important for the Charity Commission and the PSA to know that the board are confident that they're delegating in a way which is responsible and well managed. Now, what is proposed is that instead of having a chair, this proposal is that if a chair cannot be found, the college can be run by a committee. And that has been the case with the biggest college, the Humanistic and Integrative Psychotherapy College, which has been run for several years by a committee. I, in fact, was a member of the steering committee for about a year on HPSE. And I have to say to you that in my experience, it was not the most efficient and well managed because there was no chair, there was no leadership. And from meeting to meeting, different people would be able to turn up and others wouldn't. So the continuity of our thinking processes was not the same. there was no real sense of who's responsible for looking overall as to the, you know, the risks that, that are within the college and how we mitigate against those risks. No oversight as to how the college moves forward, because each member of the committee had their own particular responsibilities. So for the board to have confidence that a college is well run, we really believe that we need a properly elected chair to provide leadership, monitor the college performance, really promote the voice of the modality, oversee risks and mitigation strategies for those risks, and very importantly, have one person to act as the main interlocutor for the board and also for talking to other college chairs. And we feel that, that this is a really important, that the chair is then someone who has gone through our induction program, has gone through the training around the code of practice, is aware and has a mentor on the board who talks to them about the various pitfalls that they may encounter, and realizes if they're talking publicly what they, you know, would can say and are secure in saying, and what might actually bring them into difficulties. So we would very much favour a chair rather than a rotating committee. In the future, if we wish to hold elections for open positions of chair and vice chair within our 10 colleges, when these positions become free, we feel it important to involve all members of the college in those elections who are eligible to vote in a process similar to the election of UKCP trustees. So basically, if you really would like your organisation to be flexible and responsive to new circumstances, and you support the board's wish for clear accountability and leadership, then you should vote against this member resolution and these two aspects of the standing orders. That would be our recommendation.
Okay. What happens once the vote is over?
Well, to some extent, it depends what the results of the vote are. But any approved changes to the Articles of Association will be submitted to Companies House and to the Charity Commission and the PSA so that they are aware of how we have changed some of our high-level governance within the organisation. These organisations need to feel confident about the ability of the board to manage the organisation. We don't want to erode their confidence in any way, otherwise it could jeopardise our status. Then we've got the other governance documents which relate to the bylaws and the standing orders. And we have a change management process laid down already within our governance documents, which says that we should really talk to some of the other standing committees in UKCP to gain their input as to finalise any changes to the bylaws or standing orders so that the wisdom of the organisation carried through these committees really can make sure that what we are agreeing to and putting down in our governance is actually well thought through without any unforeseen dangers. Or obviously, if they're unforeseen, you wouldn't necessarily spot them. But I think there's a lot of wisdom where people can say, look, if we use that wording, it's not going to be understood, or it could have unforeseen consequences. So we really want to listen to our standing committees, but also the membership. We really want the membership to feel that they can be more involved in how UKCP is run. And so really, just to finish, I'd like to say that, you know, these changes, I think, are highly necessary if we are to better protect our volunteers who come in and give of their time, because there are pitfalls, and the board and other experienced people can really help them and support them if these changes are made. We want to really democratize our organization so that appointments are fair, open, and transparent, and really provide more support to the individual members, the students, the trainees, the OMs, and give them the vote for a stronger voice. So that really sums up what we're trying to achieve.
Great. Well, thank you. It's been really helpful, really interesting.
Yeah, many thanks, John Paul. Good talking to you.
You too.
Thanks.
You've just heard from UKCP Chair Asmat and UKCP Member John Paul Davis about the upcoming General Meeting. If you have any questions about the announcement or the General Meeting, then please get in touch with governance at ukcp.org.uk.